My name is Mark Bright, and I listen to the Wednesday Week.
Gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Wednesday Week, the Sheffield Wednesday podcast. I'm Lord Hillsborough, and on the line, first of all, we've got Mr. James Marriott. Hello there, James.
Good evening, my lord.
Good evening, sir. We've got Eddie. Hi there, Eddie, old boy.
Good evening, your lordship. Isn't it a beautiful time to be a Wednesdayite?
It certainly is, my word, it is. Victoria, how are you, my darling?
Hello, my lord. I'm fine, thank you.
And the ever sticky Dan Fudge, how are you, old boy?
I'm all right, lord. I'm still actually a little bit hungover after having a few pre-match beers with this motley crew that I'm listening to right now. Still rotting.
Word has reached me on the grapevine that a little bit of squiffiness went off on Saturday with the podcast chums.
Yeah. Not on my part.
This could be true.
it was Eddie's kids had to look after us and tell us to remind us.
Whoa, hang on. They're not my kids, they're Beastie's kids. When those DNA tests come back, we'll know.
Jeremy Kyle.
What can we say? Who opened up the show? Absolutely incredible. Mark Bright, apparently, allegedly, listens to the Wednesday Week. How incredible is that?
Good lad. Go on, Brighty.
Mark Bright. That's how you pronounce his name, isn't it?
Of course, thank you so much for doing that, Mike. It's an absolute pleasure. Any other Wednesday players out there that are listening, and we know you're out there, if you want to give us a little plug for the start of the show, fantastic. More than happy to take it for you.
Actually, Luke Bowden. Come on, Luke Bowden.
If you're listening, Mark, who do you prefer more, us or Crystal Palace?
So, as Eddie quite rightly pointed out, what a fantastic time to be a Wednesday night. Let's crack straight on with it. First things first. We're back at Hillsborough, first game of the season, beautiful day, beautiful setting, and not so beautiful Bristol. Talk to me. Fantastic.
I don't know where to start. Eddie, do you want to kick this one off? Because I'm still reeling.
You know what? It's one of those where it's the first game of the season and there's always optimism in the air, but I think it was turned up to 11, wasn't it, this weekend? Yeah. And it might just have been because first game of the season was also the first time the Wednesday Week crew, minus your lordship, of course, who was lording, very laudable lording that was going on.
Someone's got to do the lording, old boy.
Exactly. Absolutely, old boy. So you know, we all got together and that was great. But you know what? Even without that, everybody was turned up to 11. I don't think there's been an atmosphere at Hillsborough like that since the Wickham game. The amount of positivity that was there, the amount of anticipation, and the fact that the team delivered on the anticipation. It made it, from start to end, a fairly magical day.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It was brilliant. And I'm going to give the maximum credit out of anyone to the guy upstairs for providing glorious sunshine. Because the first day of the football season is so much better when the sun is shining. It reminded me of the Derby away game when we were first back in the Championship. That was glorious.
That was warm.
It even reminded me, and I'm going back to, I think it's probably 91, where we got Villa at home. First
yes,
day of the season. Right. Back in the
first game. I was sat where Tango was.
Atkinson's return. And I don't think I've ever known a day sunny as that. So the weather was absolutely glorious. I don't know about you guys, but I don't believe there were only like 22,000 there. The North Stand seemed to be absolutely packed on Saturday.
It seemed absolutely rammed. And I tell you what, it's weird you mentioned the weather because I actually rang my mum up. And I've been watching football now for, you know, just nearly 30 years. And every time I've gone, my mum has always gone, make sure you wrap up warm. Make sure you've got a scarf. Make sure you do it. And every time I've gone, oh, mum, shut up. And then if I've not wrapped up warm, I can see her. You know, even in my mid-30s now, and I'm sat there being cold at football, I'd be like, my mum's going to judge me on this. So I had to ring her up after the game and go, I'd had a few. Mum, I went to football, I was red hot the entire time. How about that?
She went, sure. I think it's one of those football rules, isn't it? That the first day of the season, an FA Cup final day, the world is beautiful and perfect and everything is sunny. And it lived up to it. It lived up to it from pre-game all the way through the match and you know, to the result as well. Absolutely fantastic day.
So what about the football? I mean, I've still not managed to come to terms with the fact that whether it was Bristol being poor, sorry, Bristol City being poor. I hate it when people call us Sheffield or call them Sheffield. So. Bristol City just being poor or we were seriously that good. I mean, Steve Cotterill's after-match notes, beggars belief. I don't know what game he was watching, but apparently we scored against a run of play. Apparently they matched us in the football. For me, I didn't think they had the ball in midfield at all, and they looked average at best.
That was Steve Cottrell's first ever loss as a manager at Hillsborough, and he's been a few times with various clubs, and I think he might just be a little bit of sour grapes.
it was the fault of the pitch, wasn't it?
It
definitely
was. I blame the pitch.
No doubt about that. I tell you what, looking at the stats is really interesting because Bristol City did actually have more possession. And yet, what's also a really telling statistic is that neither of our centre-halves made a single tackle through the whole game. They didn't have to. Our midfield, and particularly our central midfield, was just that good. The whole team played well. I'm going to pick on the same people that other people will have mentioned. I thought Wallace was brilliant. I thought McGugan was outstanding. Hunt was really good. Everyone deserves praise. Hutch and Lopez deserve credit as well. It was just really, really solid. I'm also going to give Jeremy Hallan credit as well because I thought he had a good game. And he's someone
class.
That I didn't expect
really well.
To be praising at this time of the season. And also got to just mention the move for our second goal just absolutely summed up the whole day. And McGugan makes a goal lines clearance at one end that would have gone to 1-1 if that had gone in. And we throw together this move. Jeremy Hallan just waltzes through the Bristol City midfield. Wallace with an inch-perfect cross. And I was thinking about this, that I can only actually remember Buxton's cross at Bournemouth last year that was a single good cross that we put in for the whole of last season.
You're not wrong there, old boy.
Wallace, perfect cross, lovely finish from McGugan. Just what a perfect move to just sum up the day.
Isn't it funny that I'm trying to think of, you know, where the weak link was, you know, who's man of the match and who's the weak link. And you know what, there isn't. That everybody absolutely delivered. You know, Jack Hunt was absolutely incredible. Down both flanks, we did exactly what we obviously intended to do. Everybody played their role. Lopez and Hutch were absolutely phenomenal in midfield. The defence had basically nothing to do. And actually, when I think about it, Niu, he had a fantastic game. It was probably 8 out of 10, one of his better games as a Wednesday player. I actually think that he was probably the one position where we could have given more because everybody else was absolutely on it. And that's not to do down Niu, because I think he played fantastic and he played his role brilliant.
I think it's what we were discussing last week about where Niu's role is in this formation. I think what it does is it solidified his point, and I think he put his elbows up about a bit. He moved his weight around. I thought it was fantastic. And you were talking earlier about trying to pick somebody that you know didn't quite pull their weight. I think who was it? Was it Lopez with that 10-yard miss at Kop End?
Was it a miss or I think a corner was given?
It was Matthias, wasn't it?
Matthias.
Was it Matthias? Yeah. It was.
Yeah. Lopez did not do anything wrong. He was a 10. He was probably an 11 on the day. He was an unbelievable player.
It was exciting. I mean, it's been a while since the... You know, nobody's mentioned playoffs yet on Twitter, which astounds me, because that's always what happens with moving. It was actually a pleasure to watch. I mean, the missus is only used to the Dizzy Knights of Southampton Football Club, and I took her, and she said, this is actually not bad. And, like, obviously, I played it out, styled it out, you know, telling this always happens and it's always like this at Hillsborough, you know.
can we just stop here and just say high five to Fudge for your missus, by the way? She is stunning.
You are punching.
You are punching.
Yeah, I know. More than like.
I know. I'm very aware of this, yeah.
I'm a bit flummoxed, actually. Obviously,
didn't get you've to missed meet out. You've missed
absolutely.
Out.
So, essentially, let's just quickly run through the goals then, boys and girls. First one obviously came from Mr. Lee. The actual build-up to what led to the corner from the goal was incredible as well. Obviously, we mentioned Mr. Hunt earlier. Quite simply, just ghosted past two players without as much of a thought. And they were literally, their two players were literally stood looking at each other, arguing as he was running past them. It was that good.
That was brilliant.
Oh, incredible. We've not seen that for a long, long time. Cross came in, knocked out for a corner. Lopez takes a corner, and there's just a cracking header. I mean, fair enough. Their marking could have been slightly better, but it bounded it in, didn't it? Good Lord.
Well, yeah, pick that out. You know what I mean? But he was at the other end of the pitch to me, and by the amount of beers I'd had with you three, I think I couldn't see that far. My vision kind of finished by the halfway line. Apparently, the new scoreboard looked lovely. I had no idea.
Well, I've been speaking to old Lord H, my wise old owl of a father, and he's likened to Mr. Lees to Peter Swan of the old days in stature and style of play, which is a little bit odd. Maybe our other wiser old owls out there can tell us if that's about right.
When we first signed him, I got that from Mummy and Daddy Wood as well.
Ah, really? Ah, you see? Us young'uns, we know nothing, do we? Absolutely. I've not been called a young'un for a long time. Craggy. Obviously, the second goal, we've discussed McGuggan from one side to the other. Again, as you quite rightly said, Helan was just ran ragged all day. It was just wonderful.
Helan was absolutely brilliant for that goal. And the crowd were getting on his back as he got to the, like, when he should have. Quote past it, and everyone was screaming at him, but he knew exactly when he was going to pass that ball, and it was absolutely world class, and he went straight to where he thought, and he went in.
I'm not having it that he knew what he was doing there, because you know what Ilan does? he gives it solid pace, right, and as soon as he gets within striking range of a defender, what he does is then just pulls out 900 step overs. Right.
See, these are the fans that we don't need at Hillsborough.
Don't get me wrong. I love Jeremy Allan, but he had no idea what he was doing. He basically got up in front of a defender and he forgot how to do stepovers for a minute. It was like a mental block. And he was like, well, what the hell do I do now? Actually, what I should do is pass this ball here. And he does it absolutely perfectly and it leads to the goal. A normal Jeremy Allan run would have been 17 stepovers, go outside the man, another 17 step over, try and cut back in to deliver the cross, and then do 6 more step overs and fall over the ball. So the fact that Jeremy Allan had a temporary mental block created probably his best assist of the season.
Well, there's another one to come on to in a little while as well. All in all, chaps, I mean, and Chapette, of course, he's been a cracking day. McGuggan obviously was also put in the Football League Team of the Week as well for his performance. Well deserved, do you think?
Absolutely,
very much so.
He was everywhere, and I mean, if you speak to Watford or Forest fans about him, they talk about his attitude and what he's like as a person, and he does look a bit ignorant, and I've seen that look on his face, but in that formation, in that shirt, on that pitch on Saturday, he just had a smile on his face all day, and on his day he can be outstanding. And I always every time I see him now, I think back to something Beastie said at the back end of last year about McGuggan should be the absolute minimum of what we sign going forward.
I think I said that actually, Fudge. To be honest, I think Beastie just echoed it.
But and I thought, yeah, I agree with that. But then having seen him on Saturday, we're going to be hard pushed to find a player at our level that's better than McGuggan at his best.
Have you seen how much he loves it as well? You know, there was that one article resonated over the summer, which was McGuggan's article about how hard Watford made it for him to come to Wednesday.
Absolutely.
And he's like, almost like they'd taken all the love out of his football. And he's got that love back. You see on the new wonderful Channel 5 show, which I think we should talk about it in great detail, because I think it's possibly the best show on television at the moment. No, we digress. When they showed the replay of that, and McGuggan, he'd celebrated with the fans and he celebrated with his teammates, and he turned round and the grin on his face was like a kid at Christmas. That is a player who is enjoying his football. And that, for Lewis McGuggan, is fantastic news for Sheffield Wednesday, because that means that he, if he's enjoying his football, the sky is literally the limit. Literally the limit.
There's that word again. Right, so essentially, I mean, it's just exciting, isn't it, boys and girls? It's absolutely exciting. Can't wait to get cracking on with this season. Obviously, after that, then, we had our little cup tie as well against the mighty Mansfield. I must admit, in previous years, I've been worried about cup games because we'll stick a second side out. People don't take it terribly seriously. And we have been caught out before. And there was sort of things in the press before the game about how Carlos is saying, well, it's not too important. And we're not that it's not important, but we're concentrating on the championship. And then we're expecting the second side. The second side? Jesus! Unbelievable!
I've got a praise and a grumble, my lord. If I can give you the grumble first.
Please do.
So we pre-ordered tickets, had them all printed out, everything else. We queued until 10 minutes into the game to even get into the ground. And that wasn't from being late. Every other turnstile was paying only. There was one turnstile that we could find that was for tickets. And there were so many people. It was snaking under the south stand. And we queued for 10 minutes to get in.
Is that what it was then? They just didn't have enough turnstiles open to get you all in?
Everyone else seemed to be cash only. We kept getting turned away and turned away. And they knew. They must have known how many people had bought tickets. Surely that's a pretty simple thing to look up. So you know how many turnstiles to open for tickets only. And it dragged on and dragged on. And we'd already missed two sitters by the time we went in. At least we hadn't scored. But obviously, I've got a praise. You know, it was a great performance. Like you said, second team, absolutely world class. And I was sat on the front row of the South Stand and I saw like every little bit of like interaction that went on between the team. And Carlos Cavallo did not stop animating himself the whole way through. And when you've gone through seasons of having Alan Irving and Dave Jones and whoever else just stood with their arms folded, he literally didn't stop. He burnt off more calories in that 90 minutes than I burnt off in the gym tonight, actually working out. He was non-stop. He was constantly, like, gesturing and calling up his staff and everything else. And he was really, really into it. And it was nice to see him from that angle because I sit miles away normally. And Carlos, if you're listening, take me out. He's a nice-looking guy.
There was a little thing I was sent this week from Monty Dangerous, at Monty Dangerous over on Twitter, from Carlos's Wikipedia page. I think it's been changed slightly now, that says Carlos can melt the clothes off a woman with his wonderful eyes. So I was a little bit worried for the poor assistant referee that happened to be a lady on that side. I was expecting her to become the streaker for the evening, poor young thing. But let's leave Carlos's eyes alone. Let's talk about the football. This is the problem. And again, just a cracking game all round, James.
It was. It was brilliant. What I'm going to say is that my experience was probably the absolute opposite of Victoria's in the respect that I was sat on the back row of the grandstand, so could not have been much further away from you. So tell you what, up there it's like.
So
watching
it's a good thing.
It's like watching Sabutio up there. I'm glad I took my glasses. I still couldn't really see what was going on. But I tell you, you get a real good perspective of the game and how it's unfolding up there. It's quite interesting to watch up there. The first time that I've ever sat in the grandstand in 25 years of supporting Wednesday. Also, while I'm on this subject, is it some kind of club secret that in the grandstand they sell Amstel on tap? Because I don't think they sell that on tap anywhere else in the ground.
No, I pay £500 a season. I don't get Amstel on tap.
We get horrible Foster's in the North Stand, which is almost undrinkable and takes about 5 minutes to pour one pint. Amstel on tap in the South Stand, which seems
I'm
the family
certain
stand.
That this is it's just Foster's that they haven't taken the badge off.
I'm not really a lager drinker, and I confirm after tasting it that it was Amstel because it's one of the few lagers that I'll drink. But it seems like a waste in the family stand. How many kids do you know that like drinking Amstel? What a waste!
You're from the posh end, aren't you?
Let's talk about the football then for a minute. And you know what? I'm going to almost repeat myself here because I am again going to praise Jeremy Halan because he played for about 25 minutes of that game. And in 25 minutes, he made himself man of the match. He was awesome. He just did not stop running. He was absolutely brilliant in the time that he was on the pitch. I thought Lee and Semedo were excellent. Zhao, do we agree on Zhao as the pronunciation last week?
Zhao!
Yep. He looked great. Lopez, outstanding again. And I tell you what, Matthias, he's had chances to score about 14 goals already this season and not taken them. But he looks like he's got something really special about him. He just needs a few more games to get with the pace, I think.
I think the thing is with him, he's getting the chances. That's the thing. We're suddenly creating chances for strikers to miss, let alone not creating them.
It's going to happen.
At least he's getting them.
Yeah, it will do. The only negative, really, and I kind of a little bit loathe to sort of give this guy a little bit of a hard time. I just thought that Lavery just didn't seem up to the level. He seemed to either he sometimes had the first touch, but everyone else on the pitch when they had the first touch knew exactly what they were going to do next. Whereas Lavery had his first touch and then needed a bit of thinking time to decide where to go with the ball. So it just seems like he's just not quite on the same wavelength as everybody else in our team at the moment.
I'd agree with that.
So I'm going to have a quick look at the goals. First of all, we had the Joe goal. Fantastic, quite simply, getting down the way from a set piece. Lopez knocks it in. Again, these dead ball situations with Lopez there, they're just... It's what we, again, sounding a bit old-fashioned, what we used to be used to in the good old days. And Joe just pops it in. Second goal, his second goal ever for the club. Jose Semedo, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
And his first ever goal at Hillsborough, which is incredible, really, the amount of games he's played, etc., etc. So Sugu, again, running down the wing and knocks it in for Semedo. Talk to me about Sugu. What did he look like? I mean, from the highlights I've seen, he looks... absolutely fantastic
quality. Yeah, that guy's got some serious confidence as well, because he just waltzed past their wing backs. He's awesome. He looked really, really good. Got himself about the pitch. He's got a good touch. He can play the ball in. To say that he's not necessarily going to be in our first choice starting 11, he's the kind of person that can come off the bench and can win you a match when it's not happening for you.
So him and Yao together, they're pure athletes, aren't they? They are thoroughbred players, and they will create chances through nothing else, just pure physicality. And I think that both of them, Yao in particular, has shown that he can be on the end of balls and get on the end of balls by dominating people physically, and he can also create by dominating people physically. And that's, I think we talked about maybe Nui will look like the weak link on Saturday, as much as he was a fantastic player with a fantastic performance. But I actually think that these guys are the kind of battering ram, pure thoroughbred athletes that are going to be able to score goals and create goals through nothing other than force of will.
I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to get in touch with Carlton Palmer, point at him, at Agadu, and go, see him? That's how you control your limbs. You know?
Yes!
you know how he's in control of what's going off with those appendages stuck on the side of his torso? You see, that's how you control him, that. And he'll go, thanks, Dan. But 20 years too late, though. And, you know, and we might have qualified for 94 World Cup. I blame Agadu for not being born 20 years ago.
I genuinely think he did look like the money we've paid for him. I think he looks like one for the future. He looks like a €4 million striker.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Agree. Absolutely. Carlos did say in his after-match interview, warns all not to get too excited. He's still a boy. He's still growing. He's still learning. I'm sorry, Carlos. It's too late. I've already got his face tattooed on my back. So it better turn good. Of course, for the third goal of the evening, first went to goal, shall I say, of the evening, he put the pass through for Kieran Lee to run in one-on-one as well, which, again, the touch he made there looked absolutely fantastic. And finally, of course, going back to James again, with the lovely long pass which Helan picked up, and ended up just popping it in for Sugu. A brilliant bit of play, again, by Helan. So, all in all, again, we're expecting a win, I suppose, not to be disrespectful to Mansfield, but I'd say we're expecting a win, and I think we got what we deserved. Honourable mentions for the game, Joe Wildsmith. He looks like he's coming along, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looked brilliant. He made two or three saves that if Joe Hart had made them, there'd be a Sky Sports advert. I say that every season, that it would have been.
How much is he buzzing as well after
he was
making
loving
his debut?
It.
Having a fantastic performance. You can't blame him for the goal. It's great to see players coming through. You know, our academy has not generated, you know, the talking about the Middlesbrough Academy. we'd not generated that sort of level. So it's fantastic to see players coming through who are fans, who have been where we are, albeit probably 20 years earlier, and coming through and making their appearances and enjoying the game and understanding what it is, the honour that it is to put on that shirt. And Joe Wildsmith has been all over Twitter the last 24 hours talking about how much it means to him. And that's only a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
It's great to get to the players before they get media training as well. And they do, and they say things like that a lot, which is fantastically funny. But no,
can I just say as well, the Mansfield fans brought so many fans last night. I've been as a Mansfield fan, if you like. I've been with a friend of mine, Karen, who goes to every single match. And they brought pretty much their home crowd last night, and they were in full voice the whole way through. They gave it their all, and fair play to them. You know, I know it wasn't expensive, and you know, Bristol will be moaning about that, but it was, they really did put on a good show. And Mansfield had a player as well. They had two players. They had one from our academy who set up their goal. I don't know his name, I'm afraid. But they had another guy called Jack Thomas. And he was on the wing, and he looked absolutely class. He's definitely one to watch.
Not on our wing. We ain't got space for him. Something my dad used to say when I was a kid is that if he saw an overweight lady, like, you know, like a big one who's, you know, who's big, he used to refer to her as a big stag. And then you just said to your mate's a big Mansfield fan. And in my head, I just made the correlation that she's a big stag.
She's the UK champion kickboxer, so
Mint.
I wouldn't say that to her face.
So just in case you're listening there, madam, that was Dan Fudge that said that about you, and definitely not Eddie.
Dan Fudge Senior. It was me. I tell you what, actually, my that's been my first trip to Hillsborough in, I think, 2 years, actually, as well, which is depressing, I know, don't get me wrong, but obviously living down here, I tend to go to more away games. And the last time I went was, it was West Ham, actually. God, it was 2 years ago. And the atmosphere just wasn't really there. We were all a bit annoyed with life. And to see the atmosphere on Saturday was great. But the thing I really want to talk about is two things. Is the blue thing around the pitch. Love that.
I couldn't see it. I was devastated. From my seat, I couldn't see the blue thing. I was like, oh, I've waited all that pre-season to see the blue thing.
I couldn't see anything, so I can't. I don't
know. No, that's true.
It's all the melted Wednesday shirts that Carlos has melted off with his eyes.
Oh, Carlos.
And my favourite bit was, and I don't know how long they've been doing this, I know I'm probably late to the game, but Henderson's gravy. Nobody told me they did that. I didn't know anything about that. It was only when I went for a slash at half time that I go, oh my God, they do Wendell's gravy. So I went back to get my third pie of the day, and they'd run out by half time. Well, I thought, well, this is rubbish. We're going to go down. This club's in turmoil. And then next game, we can't get the fans in the bloody stadium. Well, this is shocking. I'm done already. I'm done with the show. I'm done with Wednesday.
The thing that shocks me most about what you've just said is that you actually managed to get served. Because I don't know where this big thing about these quick pour things that they've had installed. I tell you, in the North Stand, it made absolutely no difference at all. It was still 5 minutes to get one drink, even when you were at the front of the queue.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure you weren't just like sat down the concourse?
I do remember that bit. The fresh air hit me. I came round about half time.
I love that we're sat whinging about the catering when we've been, you know, and the club's been spending money on crap such as, you know, the bits on the ground and new players. I mean, how dare they? Who do they think they are? They don't realise it's the fans that make these sort of clubs.
Mr. James was moaning about the football on the pitch, doesn't it? Crikey. And obviously another debut we had on against Mansfield was Wiggins. What did he look like?
Yeah, I don't think he did anything that was particularly outstanding, but he looked solid. He looked like the kind of fullback that's going to work in our system. He wasn't afraid to get forward. He got a good understanding with the players around him. I thought he looked good. He's going to fit in well.
Can I just say, my lol from the Mansfield game was walking in, and when we were queuing, the steward wouldn't let Jack Hunt pull into the ground. He was leaning out of his car like, I'm really sorry, mate, I'm a bit late. And the guy was like, no, don't have your name, mate, you're not coming in.
Seriously?
Your car. Yeah, he was in someone else's car, and they just wouldn't let him in. It was brilliant. I was like, it's Jack Hunt. Let him in.
Bless him, that's fantastic. Today's musical interlude came from Leno over on Owl's Talk. Send us your suggestions too. Spoty, spoty, he's very sporty.
And what a vital piece of defending in the end by Lees.
That is just, it's as good as a goal, isn't it? It really is that good.
Lopez with the corner. And Lees! Finally the breakthrough for Sheffield Wednesday.
There's a guy at our place who deserves a lot of praise, and he goes by the name of Tom Lees. He's good. He couldn't have been cheaper from the Mellon Road creature. They didn't quite get him, they misunderstood. He's refined, he's sublime, he's easy on the eye. He protects the goalkeeper like no other man could. And if you've seen Lees, you won't, but he's pleased. He's ever so good. Danny Lees, blue blood.
Lees is good, Lees is good. Oh, Tommy Lees is good. Lees is good, Lees is good. Oh, Tommy Lees is good. Lees is good, Lees is good. Oh, Tommy Lees is good. Lees is good, Lees is good. Tommy Lees is good.
So who does Tom Lees sit next to on the coach?
Lavery.
A few things I have sort of seen and read is Carlos seems like an actual boss, a gaffer. He wears his three-piece suit. When players are being substituted, he gives them a nod rather than a hug and a pat on the arse, if you like. And he just carries himself as the boss. And again, it may be obviously compared to the managerial stylings of Stuart Gray, he seemed like he won't be friends with the players and all that kind of thing. I mean, what would you guys prefer? Would you prefer a manager that's your best mate, or would you prefer someone who is the boss and you will do as you're told?
It's not a three-piece suit. It's a cardigan. It's a cardigan underneath, because I was quite appalled at that. I thought, oh, Carlos.
To be fair, coming from Portugal,
I quite wanted a three-piece suit, not a cardigan.
Did you watch any of the match on Tuesday?
No,
or were you just watching Carlos for 90 minutes?
Every time, do you know, we were shooting against the away end, all I could see was Lee Bullen and Carlos. I didn't see any of those goals. So, Bully, sit down. What are you doing?
Yeah, Bully.
Who do you think you are, club legend?
I know. I paid £12.
So again, Eddie, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a friendly gaffer, or would you rather have a boss?
That, you know what? It's not even about that. Actually, I will judge all of our managers based on their sartorial choices. I don't like tracksuit managers, right? That to me, that's on the training ground. That's a coach. I don't think you've got enough authority. I think probably the greatest manager we could ever have at Sheffield Wednesday would be yourself, your lordship, turning up in the full morning suit with tails, top hat, and a small boy behind you attending to your needs.
Absolutely.
That's what I like. So, Carlos, although he's obviously foreign and therefore frightful, I think he's fantastic that he wears a wonderful tailored suit. And he's almost like, he's kind of a Tesco value Mourinho, but without any of the arrogance, which makes him better than
Absolutely.
Mourinho in my mind.
Absolutely. A couple of things to mention before we go on to the Ipswich preview. We had a very special birthday at Hillsborough. Ivy Goulson, who was 100 years old, Sheffield Wednesday's oldest season ticket holder. And obviously, I assume we all saw the pictures on the social medias. Mr. Chancery went and said hello and took her a signed shirt. But my word, can you imagine 100 years old? How on earth has that poor lady put up with Sheffield Wednesday for essentially 70 years? She's had a season ticket for consecutively. 70 years. It blows my mind. Absolutely fantastic. It really is.
Happy birthday, Ivy.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ivy. I mean, and we're sorry for the last, 10, 15 years. You know what I mean? I know you've seen some good times, love, but look, coming back, I promise. I promise it's coming. It's coming.
Do you think Ivy knows what a podcast is?
If we get her on.
Let's get her on. Come on, Ivy. Get on.
It's just anything like my grandma, she called the internet fancy teletext. So, so let's crack on. Again, Ipswich preview. And again, this looks like it's obviously going to be a sterner test, shall we say. No disrespect to the teams that we've played already. I'm trying to be all PC about it. But quite simply, they're a better team. And first game, they were away to Brentford, leading quite comfortably, 2-0 before it all went a little bit wrong. What do we know about Ipswich?
Well, it's a long way away. I know that. And I'm going with three other guys in a camper van, so we might not even make it. Tell you what I do think about Ipswich this season. I'm not sure they're going to be kind of the powerhouses that they were last season. They were up there or thereabouts for the whole season last term. I'm just not sure that they're going to be there. They don't seem to have strengthened too much during the summer.
They signed Giles Coke.
Well, it's a good point.
I mean, that I think you've just proved my point there. I couldn't have put it any better myself.
Mocker, do none of you understand the concept of mockers? Giles Coke will now score 7 goals against us.
That's so true.
That is the law. But I mean, Ipswich a couple of years ago started signing some, you know, they were getting on with it, and the signings they were pulling off I thought were outstanding. Like, they managed to get the players that were there, but they weren't the top enders. Does that make sense? So, like, they were signing the 7th or 8th best players in the league without, and all of a sudden they had a hell of a bloody team without us even realizing. And that seems to have gone away. They seem to have not got that prowess anymore, because I think when Barnsley Mick went in, that's what happened, and then it's kind of fell away. So, I mean, players like Luke Chambers is still a decent fullback, regardless of how old he is. But then if they're relying on players like Giles Coke to pull strings in their midfield, then, you know, that's going to be a struggle. And then David McGoldrick, he's not known as David McGoldrick for a reason, is he? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely not.
I think they've got a potential to test us. Do I think it's our biggest test of the season? Of course, we're only one game in. But I don't think they're the team that they were last season or the season before. I think they're a little bit average. And I think, like you said, looking at it when it started to fall apart, you know, I don't think it's a massive test for us, because I think we will absolutely destroy them like we did on Saturday.
They're a bigger scalp than they are a banana skin. I think if we go down there and take 3 points, I think we'll take a lot out of it because of where they finished last season. But actually, I don't think, like you said, they're as good a team as they were last time out. This is one of those away games where I think we can build some momentum by getting a result against them. Will it really show that we are the real deal this year? No, probably not. But I think they're the teams. These are those away trips this year that we have to come away with something from, to show that we are serious about competing at the top end.
Absolutely. I mean, looking at the one clear thing that has come out of our first two games is that the fight for a starting shirt at Sheffield Wednesday this year is going to be vicious.
Yeah.
There is real competition for places. Again, listen to Carlos on an interview about the Ipswich game. He did mention there that he's not just going to choose the players on how well they're playing, but the tactics needed for that game as well. So he's watching the games, he's making a plan, and he's choosing players for the plan that he makes, to put it coarsely. We're not just throwing players on our best 11 and seeing what happens. It's like a scalpel, and he's choosing exactly what he needs for that situation. And I think that's just incredible. And I honestly do believe that Carlos can do that.
We're almost at the point now where we start using the phrase squad rotation, which is never a phrase that I think has come anywhere near to Sheffield Wednesday before. But we're at that position whereby we've actually got two entirely separate starting 11s now. We've got enough players to be able to play two teams on the same day and probably win both games, to be honest. And that's brilliant. And I think you're right. I think that Carlos has actually got a really hard job to pick the best 11 for a game. I wouldn't really want to do it at the moment, because I don't think I'd be able to get it down to 11. I think I'd just put 13 out and take the fine that you get for it, because it's so hard to pick the 11 from it. I am a little bit old fashioned. And for me, I kind of think, would you really want to change the 11 that went out and won against Bristol City? I'm not sure. I'd err on the side of saying put the same 11 out, because they did a great job. But Carlos has written a book about football, which is more than I've ever written about anything. So he knows his stuff.
Right, so let's put as bits and bobs where his mouth is. I apologise, that came out completely wrong. give some score predictions. James, what do you think?
Oh, I hate predicting scores. I'll say 2-1 Wednesday.
Ready?
You know, I think we'll have another fantastic performance. I think we'll run out 3-0 winners, and I think we'll all get really ahead of ourselves. But I don't think it's going to be it's going to matter at the end of the season. I think we're going to flatter ourselves with another great result, but it doesn't mean that we're there yet.
Victoria?
I'd say 3-1 Wednesday, and I guarantee the one will be Daryl Murphy.
Fudgy?
3-0. I just think we'll do them. I just don't. I think they're just a shade of the team they were before.
Well, I think we're going to batter them 7-0, and then we're all going to explode with excitement after.
Oh, don't.
On Twitter.
Just want to say a shout out as well to everyone at the Bristol game that gave a massive round of applause at 50 minutes for Graham Compton.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey.
Brilliant. Yep. It took a while for people to notice because we were on the attack and everyone was kind of focused on that. And as soon as his picture came up, that lovely picture with Hursty, you know, everyone got behind it. We all clapped along, and what a great guy.
Certainly. All the best, Graham, old boy. Right. So, James, I've heard on the great line, you've got a few little bits.
I always do. yeah, first thing. And I'm sure you'll join me in wishing Chris Kirkland all the best. He's gone to Preston. In a way, I kind of hope that that he's not playing for them when Preston come to Hillsborough, because he's a good goalkeeper. But certainly. I kind of hope that he is, because it'll be great for us to be able to give him a proper send off and the ovation that he deserves, because he's a true pro, and we wish him all the best.
And given that he looks like he does live in a caravan, he'll fit in at Preston.
Did you see on the internet today that some of the Blades fans were saying he's not got a club yet? We should sign him.
Yeah,
isn't that absolutely typical of them? Just come sniffing off after our rejects, our cast offs.
Like Alan Quinn, your Brombies and your Quinns all over. Yeah.
Exactly.
Who do they think they are? Rotherham United.
Yeah, exactly. No, we've only got one B team, and that's Rotherham.
What's your second little bit, James O'Boy?
Yeah, well, this is back to a guy that we mentioned in passing last week, but I feel I have to mention Leon Clark's stunning goal for Bury against Doncaster at the weekend.
I mean, they couldn't touch him, could they? They couldn't defend against him.
The halfway line.
He walked through. He didn't waltz. He walked. He just paced the full length of the pitch.
Passed their entire team, danced past the goalkeeper and put it away.
What a legend.
If you've not seen it, by the way, you have to watch it to really understand what we're talking about.
I think, actually, the entire video has gone quite viral. I think it's been watched all across the world, as far as I'm understanding, which absolutely beggars belief that there's somebody sat in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia watching a video of Leon Bloody Clark at Doncaster.
The question is, did he break a toe?
I think he managed to complete his celebrations unscathed for
well
that particular
done, Leon.
He's learning.
Just a big shout out to Hawkeye from Al's Talk, who not only bought my signed shirt, but he bought two signed shirts off me the other night, all in aid of Cavendish Cancer Care. I'm really sorry that you opened the door and I'd just come back from the gym. It wasn't the best sight to be greeted with. You just paid out £80 for a signed shirt. You didn't want to see that. But I'm very sorry, but we're very, very grateful at the charity. So thank you, Al's Talk. Thank you, Hawkeye.
From the way she's described it, the shirts weren't the only things you could have picked up that night.
Yeah, that is true. Hawkeye, you're a bit of all right.
just a heads up for everyone that's listening. From next week, we'll be auctioning some of Beastie's used panties. a bit early and often.
Covered in oil.
No.
At least I think it's oil.
Covered in fruit bag debris.
Oh, we miss you, Beastie.
I tell you, it's a shame actually that Beastie wasn't there on Saturday. I think he'd have genuinely enjoyed it, because we know what Beastie's like. He's a grumpy old sod. And it didn't have much to whinge about on Saturday, which is a rarity. And if that's the way we play when Beastie's not there, it was nice knowing you, Steve.
Oh, poor old Beastie. Right then, ladies and gents, that's around about it for from us this week. James, if people want to get over you there on the social medias, where can we find and look at your drunken pictures?
I am at James Marriott, which is double R, double T. Alternatively, I will be at Ipswich on Saturday. I'm the one that's sleeping in a camper van in a car park outside the ground.
Fantastic. And hopefully you'll be doing a few tweetage from the TWWcast Twitter feed as well.
Yes, probably earlier in the day, because I do tend to lose control of or use of my eyes as away days go along.
Fantastic. Victoria, where can people get hold of you, my dear?
I'll be on Twitter at Victoria1867. I'm not at Ipswich, I'm afraid, but I do have some lovely shelves that I need to put up. So if anyone wants to talk me through that, I am a woman, so get in touch.
I'll send Jeeves round. Eddie!
Okay, get in touch. Get in touch and help a damsel in distress with the shelves.
Yeah!
Fudge, where can people get hold of you, old boy?
I'm on the internet, as Eddie put it earlier. I like that. I'm at Dan Fudge on Twitter. And if I'm out and about the games, I'll let you know. And I'll come and find James Marriott's friend, which is that one with the square head that stands really close to you when he talks. He's scary.
And Eddie, old boy, where can people find you?
You know, I'm taking a leaf out of Fudge's book. For the next 2 weeks, I am on a scouting mission in Southern Europe. I will be a week on Friday. I'm going to be at the Montpellier Paris Saint-Germain game. I'm hoping to scout. I've heard about this guy who's basically like New Year, but not as good. He's called Ibrahimovan or something like Ibrahimovan.
Has he got the same hair?
He's basically he looks like a really poor tribute act for after New Year. So
yeah.
I'm going to be watching him and seeing whether he could do a job for us. If you want to follow my basically 3 weeks of wine and camembert and highly paid French strikers, then I am at Sausage Arms on Twitter. And if not, then I will be back in the Wednesday Out Lounge for every home game forthwith.
I'm so glad you said strikers at the end of highly paid French. And of course, if you've got to get hold of me over there on the Twitter, you can do that at Lord H. That's L0RD_H. Of course, follow the podcast as well, as we mentioned earlier, at TWWcast. You can also get us on Facebook. If you want to email the show, please do so at TWWpodcast@gmail.com. And please, whilst you're out and about looking at the podcast and things, do subscribe. Subscribe to us on YouTube, and as soon as that comes available, you'll get the notification. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and then as soon as it becomes available, it'll be sat in your box, etc.
Like Andy knew who.
Exactly. But thank you very much for joining us this week, ladies and gents. It's been an absolute pleasure as always, and we shall see you very soon.